I've always loved celebrating Mother's Day because I had one of the most wonderful, precious, priceless, gentle, sweet mothers, godly mothers in all the world. So it's always been a very special occasion for me, though I've not had my own children. But many times I've left church on Mother's Day feeling some pain for people who may have been there who are hurting. Some have had to say goodbye to a child. A mother may have had to say goodbye to a child, and I can't think of a pain greater than that. We know folks who have lost children, and you just can't help but think about them at a time like that, because on Mother's Day, that's got to come back fresh to them. Some are separated from their children geographically, but some are estranged from their children. Relationships have fallen through, and that hurts. And perhaps their adult children have neglected them. Sometimes we get busy in our lives and forget to call our moms except on their birthday and Mother's Day, and some women are in that position. Someone may have experienced an abortion. We've had far too many of them in our society. And if I stop at any time, I'm used to using paper notes, but had edited my notes here in the hotel and was unable to get them printed off, so you're watching me as I practice using technology for the first time. Thank you. But you all look so, you know, and I know you are so patient that you'll bear with me if I lose it and have to pull it back up again, which I just did. Others may have been, like me, unable to bear children. That can be a painful thing if they're going through the emotional struggle of adjusting to that in their lives. And then there are often those who are struggling to raise their children alone. And if I had to guess, I would guess that you have some single parents in this church, probably. Some are lonely because they've lost their moms through death. And the list goes on and on and on. In those times, I'm mindful that while we're celebrating this wonderful day, as very well we should, that there are those who are hurting. So if you don't mind, I'd like to take just a few moments and minister to the need for comfort and healing for that one person. Just that one person who is here today. If there are more, then you are that one person. Just let me share a few scriptures and from my heart pray a prayer that God will bring healing this day into your life and you can celebrate with all of the wonderful moms and all the children who love their moms and who remember their moms. And I pray that you'll never again have to endure that kind of pain on this precious day. In Hebrews 4:15, Jesus, our great high priest, says he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's moved with compassion by your pain. He cares. He really cares. It's hard for us to grasp that sometimes. We're in the middle of grief and sorrow or a protracted pain that comes from a past experience that we just haven't been able to overcome. But he does care. He loves you, and he is the God of glory. He is the God of healing, and he is touched with the feelings of yours and my weaknesses and the pain that keeps us back from being all he wants us to be and living the abundant life. The truth is, if we'll trust and believe God, he's able to turn our painful past and our present into a blessed future. And, you know, he wants to bless us and then use us to pass on to future generations the testimony of his great love and his faithfulness and his power. That's what he really wants to do. In Psalm 50:15, God says, call upon me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Genesis 12:2, the first promise in the Bible, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. That promise was made to Father Abraham, and we find in the New Testament that if we are faithful as Father Abraham was, we are children. We are descendants. And we claim that same promise that was given to Abraham in Genesis. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. I wish you would just say with me this one time. This is the only time I'll probably have you repeat anything, but I believe it's worth it. Say, I am blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. Say it again and say it with gusto, because this is why we're here. I am blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. You know, the psalmist had suffered so much, and yet he called upon God in his pain. Aren't you glad that David, the psalmist, went through the pain that he did to find God faithful as he did, so that he could pass on to you and I the assurance of God's love and faithfulness? I'm happy about that. I love reading the Psalms. You have turned in Psalm 30:11. He says to the Lord, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my praise may, my glory, that is your presence in my life, may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Beautiful picture of the faithfulness of God there. In Isaiah 61, he gives us the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So my prayer for those of you who are hurting today, and I'm certain that in a crowd of this size, someone is hurting. And I want to encourage you that God has singled you out this morning to touch you with the oil and wine of his love and his Holy Spirit and his word, and to bring healing. So for you who are hurting today, may faith rise in your heart to receive the healing that God has for you this day. And may you embrace the truth that you have the power of choice to offer your pain to God so that he can heal your heart, redeem your suffering, and then use you to pass on that blessing to future generations. I rest that message with God before you, and I am certain that someone, I have it in my spirit, that someone is healed today. Amen. Amen. And thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I'd like to speak for a few moments today, not your traditional Mother's Day message, however, I believe that godly heritage has to do with so much with the mother, because the mother is the glue of our home. You've heard the adage, if mother ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. and I forgot who said this, but said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I just love to come out there and give every one of y'all a hug today, you mothers and expectant mothers and want to be mothers, and give you roses and gifts and just pamper you, because you are the golden, priceless treasure of this human race. And there is no doubt about that. I believe the closest thing we will see on earth to the love of God is through a mother's heart and life. And I, for one, appreciate you all so very much. So anyway, I've entitled these comments, To Generations Following. This may seem a foreign concept to some people, but you and I are not here on earth for ourselves. We are here to live lives on behalf of others and those who come after us. We are here to represent Jesus Christ in the earth and perpetuate the gospel of Jesus Christ through his love in and through our lives. Nowhere is this more evident than through the life of a mother. When a woman has children, suddenly her life is not her own anymore. hers is a life of sacrifice on behalf of her family. And she serves generously and tirelessly and lovingly those who are in her care. A godly mom cannot be created by anything that man would do. I believe God created women to be that representative in the earth. And as I said before, none of us would be here if we didn't have a mom, someone who was willing to raise us. And by the way, I just want to insert that, you know, you may have been raised by someone who was not your birth mom. They're every bit as much your mom. People who, it's mom, and motherhood is not just bearing children. Motherhood is a role that we play in life. And God calls all of us to be spiritual mothers, spiritual parents. The fact is, as Christians, you know, a mother's life is not her own. As Christians, our lives are not our own. And I think sometimes we're so busy being diligent about trying to grow spiritually that we get the feeling, and I have to put my hand up and say that I have struggled with that in the past. We get the feeling that it's about us because we have to get right before we can be of good to someone else. And I love the scripture that says that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is not us. We do not belong to ourselves. We are representatives. We are here to represent Christ and those around us and to pass on the good news of his saving grace to future generations. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:20, here it is, y'all, here it is in black and white print. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. We're bought with a price. Think of what that price was and is. We were bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My dad used to sing a song, "He Bought My Soul Through Death at Calvary." And when once we come into the reality of that experience in our lives and realize that Jesus shed his blood for us, and we, for lack of a better term, fall in love with Jesus, then that inspires the devotion that brings on the motivation to be that witness in the earth. Not doing grandiose things, living the life as best we know how in our imperfection, following after Christ so that he may show his own light through us and influence a world that is trapped in darkness. 2 Timothy, let's take a look at this. 2 Timothy 1, 3, and 5. Paul is writing to a spiritual son, and he says, his name is Timothy, "How I thank God for you, Timothy. I pray for you every day, and many times during the long nights, I beg my God to bless you richly. He is my Father's God and mine. And my only purpose in life is to please him. I know how much you trust the Lord, just as your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois do. And I feel sure you are still trusting him as much as ever." Can you just imagine how those women may feel now that, you know, in with the Lord or in eternity, you know, their names were in the Bible. And I submit to you that it was purely because of their godly mothering. That, as simple as that, raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus. And you see how that rubbed off on Timothy. In these two passages that we just read, we're seeing the passing on of godly influence from one generation to the next. We're all called, as I said earlier, to be spiritual mothers and fathers. You know, I was not blessed with biological children. And of course, I, like any other woman, had my emotional roller coaster with that. But I look back on it, and God was so gracious and faithful to me. And he helped me through that time. And I came through, I just have to say, clean as a whistle, with a peace in my heart that, you know what, God knows better than anybody what he has me on earth for, and I don't have to understand. And one day, as I was reading in Isaiah, I ran across Isaiah 54:1, and I read, "Shout for joy, O barren one who has not given birth. Give a joyful shout and cry out, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one are more numerous than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Well, I have to tell you, I knew in that moment that I had just received a promise from the Lord. And I claimed this verse as my own. I genuinely claimed it as my own. It was life-changing. I was confident from that moment forward that God was going to give me many spiritual children. And I was overjoyed. I have to tell you, I don't believe I could have been any more joyful if the doctor had just said, "You are expecting twins." I was overjoyed. It was like a conception or something. I don't know how to express it. Someone here may have had that kind of experience, but you know that when you do have an experience where that the logos, the black and white print of the Word of God, jumps off the page into your spirit and becomes rhema. It becomes life. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can. From that moment on, I was eager and expectant, just like I was carrying a child in my womb. And a few years later, I was appointed as the women's pastor and director of women's ministries at Christ Church in Nashville, of which Pastor Hardwick was founder and pastor at the time and leader. In fact, he is the one who appointed me. He had to approve me in that position. So I got into that position, and before I knew it, I was nurturing hundreds upon hundreds of women. And it just dawned in on me one day, God, this is what you promised me. I wasn't a guru with followers. I was a mom to these people. Even when I took someone under my wing and then appointed another of my leaders, my leading ladies, to take that person on because they had maybe similar situations, I still was being fulfilled as a spiritual mom. I have to smile because it was just one of the most joyful seasons of my life. I've told my husband, I can't think of another season in life for almost 2 decades that I was more fulfilled and content than in that time of child rearing, so to speak. And to this day, there are many of those women who are still like spiritual children to me, and they'll send me a card or call me sometime, a message, and say, "I just want to remind you, you know, you're my mom, and I'm now directing the women's ministries out at such and such church, and I just want you to know I've never forgotten how you poured into my life." But oh, what fulfillment. There are so many out there who need what we have to give, and sometimes God, he will just guide our path in that direction, out of the home of raising children. And my prayer for you is, if you've been barren, is that God would do that kind of a work in your life so that you would get so excited about your place in the body of Christ and his plan for your life, your purpose, your destiny, that you would no longer walk around with that ache in your heart. But people of God in general, it's not only our responsibility, but it's our privilege to surround those who are hurting and lonely and troubled in our congregations and in our midst. We can reach out to our single-parent families, and we can actually fill in the empty spaces with our love and support. And we can be present for them. Sometimes it just takes being present, being there, and listening. In this way, we're passing on the blessing to future generations. It's much more simple than we make it. We can take an example from our own dear mothers and the faithful mothers of our church families. I mentioned earlier that my own sweet mother passed away last year, and just a little over a year ago, and I still miss her painfully. I'm not going to pretend that I don't miss my mother. Every once in a while, Pastor Hardwick will find me crying, and he'll say, "What's the matter?" And I'll say, "I miss my mama," you know, and I do. I mean, I'm 67 years old, and I'm the baby, once a baby, always the baby of our family, and I miss my mama. But, you know, one thing I've noticed since Mother's been gone, I have become so much more sensitive to the grief of other people who have lost a parent or a loved one. I'm so much more sensitive. God has given me purpose in that. It's like when I see somebody hurting, I haven't always been just so keen on people's pain. But Pastor Hardwick knows that even in recent years, the last year or so especially, we'll be riding down the road, won't we, honey? And he'll say, we were riding around, we were in Kentucky about a few weeks ago, and he was driving along, and it was on a Sunday afternoon, and he said, "Oh, Carol, that young girl was sitting there by the side of the road. She was crying." I said, "Turn around." And he turned around, and we went back. And that's no virtue on my part. I'm saying the influence of my precious mother in my life has impacted me in such a way as to change my life and change my behavior and heighten my compassion. She didn't get up one day and say, "I'm going to impart this to Carol." She was just faithful in raising her children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So many opportunities to pass the blessing on. So many opportunities. We can miss them if we're not careful. A singer friend of mine wrote a song entitled "Hands Upon Hands" a few years ago. And it's the story of the gospel that has been passed down through the centuries from one hand to the next hand to the next hand to the next hand. And I remember hearing her sing that and relating to a minister I heard one day say this about the gospel. He said, do you realize that ever since Jesus Christ laid his hands on his disciples, the perfect gospel has been being passed down from one hand to the next hand to the next hand to the next hand for centuries. And this is what's so astounding, he said. It's been being passed down through imperfect people. But he said, the gospel is still perfect. It's still able to save our souls and set us free and give us liberty and joy and peace and victory in Jesus Christ. And I think about that. I just have to think about that. You and I are hands, and we are imperfect hands, but we are passing down a perfect gospel. We're not walking a tightrope as to how we deliver that gospel. The Holy Spirit in us, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, conveys that gospel through our lives when we follow him. Isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't all have to go to seminary and find out how to share the gospel? And some people are called to that. Yes, and I did my time in Bible school. But what we really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ and to be yielded to his will for our lives. And if it is raising children in the home, please be aware that that is the most noble calling on earth. You know, lest we would think that this is a monumental task, let me share just a few memories with you as I get ready to wrap this up. My family gathered for devotions every morning, and my mother and dad read the word to us, and then they prayed for us kids. Well, I mean, I'm not going to try to play super spiritual and tell you that we children were godly little kids just sitting there taking it in, drinking it in. We endured the devotions. And I remember my sister and I, my brother was too respectful for this, I guess, but my sister and I, and Daddy would have us kneel when we would pray. And my sister and I'd grab a sofa pillow, put it under our knees, and then grab another one, put it under our head, and we would doze while my dad was praying, because he prayed long prayers. Bless his memory. But I tell you, today, now, I'm overwhelmed when I think of the power of that influence in my life. I cherish my devotional time in the morning. However brief it may be, I cherish that. Don't I, honey? I just cherish it. It is just a bubble of time that I can recognize that God is the center of my life and that he can guide me and he can make me more. I can cry out to him then and say, please make me more like Christ. I want to be more like you, Lord. I don't want to go my selfish way. You don't want to turn me loose if I'm not tethered to the Word of God and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so those times are so priceless for me. Okay, another example, another memory. My parents would take me and my brother and my sister to the library every couple of weeks on a Saturday, and we would go to a puppet show, and then we would check out books, of course, overseen by their discretion. We would choose as many books, the max books that they would let us have for the next 2 weeks. We'd read them like bookworms. And Mother and Daddy always, always had us put the Bible first. We did our reading in the Word. And then we would read these other books that just gave us a fun learning experience. And in the Bible, we loved to memorize scriptures. And then they would have us be a part of Bible quizzes. Has anybody ever been a part of Bible quiz? Oh, bring them back, please. I beg you, bring Bible quizzes back into the church. It is not only fun, it instills the Word of God in a child. And even though they're competing so that with the First Baptist Church down the road or whatever, they want to win just to win, I'll tell you what, when they are old, when they get grown, all of a sudden circumstances will come along that cause that Word to just come right to life. So I have to tell you that today, as a result of all that and that influence, I have a love for reading and learning. And my parents' devotion to studying the Word of God has left me with a deep desire to study to show myself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed but rightly dividing the Word of truth. I want to grow. I want to renew my mind in the Word. I don't know of anything that I need more than that. Where did it come from? It just came from that little habit that my parents had. My dad was a pastor, and we kids were required to be in church every time the doors opened. And, you know, they, back in those days, they really worked hard to make a Sunday school and learning a pleasant and fun experience. And they succeeded because I just had a blast in Sunday school. I enjoyed Sunday school so much. I remember that I was in primary. Y'all know what primary is, what is it, like 8, 9, 10 age group, something like that. I remember I was in primary Sunday school. That was my age group. And one Sunday, my daddy said, Carol, you're going to have to teach the class this morning, honey, because your teacher's sick or something. I can't remember what happened. I taught Sunday school. And Lord only knows what kind of a job I did. But I wasn't afraid to do it because I was so hungry for the Word and what I had learned. I was just eager to share. So today, the church is my home. I'd rather be there than anywhere else in the world. I cherish every connection with Christians everywhere we go. Why? Because my parents were diligent in bringing me to church. They didn't watch my every move. They brought me and exposed me to the family of God. My mother was diligent in serving my father and us children. She cherished the opportunities to make life pleasant and easier for all of us. There's a book that was written by a friend of pastors and mine, Joanne Miller, creating a haven of peace in a broken world. You may want to get in and read it. We can create a haven of peace in a broken world. That's what my mother did. My mother did that in our home. Today, guess what? I may not be the best homemaker in the world, but I absolutely love serving my precious husband. In fact, I think, honey, that we try to outserve each other. Because he gets one up on me every time I turn around, and I'm going, no, I gotta do better than that, you know. But where did I get that? I saw my mother, a dedicated homemaker, and a dedicated wife, and a dedicated mother, and a prayer warrior, intercessor, encourager, and comforter. And I wanted to be just like that. And it just comes out. It comes out of me. Okay. I'm wrapping it up here. She had the gift of hospitality. She enjoyed guests in her home, hosting guests in her home, and she made everything so special. Even when we were on such a shoestring budget, my mother would make things special. If we had nothing but flour and lard and water and baking soda, she would make, and cocoa and sugar, she would make the most delicious biscuits and chocolate gravy. We used to... Yeah. Y'all had that? We used to beg my mother to make chocolate gravy, but we were the recipients of my mother's hospitality, and our friends and our family were too. Well, today, guess what? One of my very favorite things to do is host people in our home. Come see us. They ought to come see us, oughtn't they, honey? And we'll make you some biscuits and chocolate gravy. I'll try to do that. But I love pampering friends and family when they come to stay with us. I love it. Where did I get that? Okay? The point that I'm making is this. Whatever you do out of love for God, out of love for your family, out of love for others, will leave a lasting impression and has the power to help shape their lives. Thank God for our dear mothers who've sacrificed their lives for the benefit of their families. And mothers, as I said before, please don't underestimate the efforts that you expend or you have expended for your children. They may not thank you now, but one day they will rise up and call you blessed. Be assured that motherhood is a most noble calling. Be encouraged. I don't care what your circumstances are, regardless of what your circumstances are. Please be encouraged. You're doing the right thing. You keep doing it. Sometimes you don't receive the thanks for it right away. But God sees what you're doing, and he's pleased. May we all join you and determine that with God's help, we will pass on a good and godly heritage to our future generations. And I close with Luke 9:24. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one, and I will add, she is the one, who will save it. We lose ourselves. There's a song that said, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. May old self be slain and friends see only thee. Though it cost me grief or pain, I will find myself again. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee.